I'm not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you must have known I was not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Wait till I get going. Let's drink. Me from my glass, and you from yours.
It's the Wine Crush. And now, here are your hosts, Laura Lawson.
Sorry I ever sent her that finishing school. I think they finished her there.
And Michael Ambrose.
Oh, God, boy, I'm the oldest man I know. I've got a decade on the Pope.
Welcome to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we are your host on the weekly tour of All About the Grape and All Its Glory, all about the wine, all about the glass, and all about that lovely beverage that we all love to drink and think about. And on that note, talking about drinking and thinking, it brings us to the topic of today's theme. Today, we are going to talk about wine terminology. And I think this is a big focus as why people stay away from wine. Yep. I think the terms scare everybody to death. So we are here to enlighten you, to teach you how to sound like you're more intelligent than 90% of the people in the room.
That's right. And not to get intimidated when somebody starts using some of these terms.
Absolutely not. Also on today's show, our wine country chef Richard Hake from the Robert Mondavi Winery will join us. The winemaker Sean Miner from Four Bears Winery will be calling in and giving us a little bit of his local knowledge. And, of course, we'll have some useful and useless wine news. And, of course, as always, the most important part of the crush, your calls and your emails. And I will reiterate, we ask you to email us at info@winecrush.com. And I ask you to call us at 877-4-CRUSH-1. And as those of you who have been brave enough to call in will know, you will have a handsome and sexy voice that will tell you what to do once you call in. All right, now that you know how to play along, we are going to talk a little bit about wine terms. I promise I will keep a leash on Michael. Michael, top five favorite wine terms, what are they and why?
Earthy, grassy, oxidized, nosed, pull corks, TCA.
All right. That right there would be enough to get you into any conversation with any wine geek cork dork you can find.
Absolutely.
Michael, elaborate. The TCA one stands out. Explain that one.
In my experience, one bottle out of a case is going to have TCA. It's called being corked. The wine smell, very stinky, kind of like a wet cardboard smell.
Fair enough. Another one of my fascinating ones that you talk about is oxidized. Michael, you're the fault king. Why don't you continue on that role?
The wine will go from a nice cherry red color or a ruby red color to a brown color, typically because it's been exposed to too much heat.
So oxidation simply is too much air and too much heat.
Yeah. Sure is.
All right. Fair enough. As you can see, you can take any of these terms and beat them to death. But regardless, it's very difficult in the world of wine to get by without knowing some of them. People invariably are going to toss these around like it's some kind of ping pong ball at any tasting or dinner you go to.
They're all pretty much negative terms. You know, there are a lot of positive terms that you'll also hear bantered around. Give us a couple of examples of those.
I think some of the most positive ones you can look for are wines with body. You can talk about balance, and you can talk about soft, or you can talk about robust. Balance and body are the two that will get you through any tasting, and they tend to be positive terms. Used in a sentence, this wine has great body. And what body is, it's the weight of a wine. And the best way I've ever heard this explained, a wine's body, think about the difference between cream, whole milk, 2% milk, and skim milk.
That's really good.
Think about the four different ways those beverages feel in your mouth, and mm-hmm. That's exactly body. The heavy-bodied wines are the cream. The light-bodied wines are the skim milk. So you can pick up a glass and say, my, this Chardonnay has a lovely body. This Chardonnay has heavy body. This Chardonnay is full-bodied. This Chardonnay is light-bodied. Pick whatever adjective you're comfortable from. Throw it in front of body, and you're good to go.
Yeah, and it's bound to strike up a conversation.
All right, throughout the course of the show, we are going to throw terminology into our conversation. We're going to give you these terms. We're going to try and explain them, and hopefully we have used them intelligibly in a sentence.
To reach Laura and Michael, call 877-4CRUSH1. That's 877-427-8741. Or you can email them at this new address, info@winecrush.com.
Jeff from Austin, Texas writes us, "My local wine store does tastings every Saturday. How many samplings is the store owner expecting me to try without getting carried away?"
Jeff, the wine owner probably expects you to taste as many as you want to, because you're going to find some flavors that you're going to like and you're going to find some flavors that you're not going to like. Now, what that wine owner is going to expect is that you show him the courtesy of buying something. So taste them. There's a bucket usually right there that you can spit that juice out so that you don't have to catch a buzz before you leave the place. Taste it all. The one that you like, buy a bottle and say thank you and come back the next week.
Jeff, conservatively, I can say I have probably done 400 of those in-store tastings. It is a great opportunity for the store owner to get you to try new wines.
Right.
He wants you trying those wines. Now, in all fairness, if you've gone for four Saturdays in a row, tried 10 wines each Saturday, and haven't bought a bottle, you are not his target customer, and it's not fair to keep going back. But if you are going to learn and you do find things you like, then you are ideally the perfect ploy. You're the perfect guy he wants in there. Just it doesn't matter. As long as you are there to learn and not just to catch a buzz, like Michael said, by all means, keep going back and you won't look foolish.
That's right. And if he knows you by name and he says, "Hey, Jeff, welcome back," that's a good sign. If he goes, "Oh, it's Jeff again," you need to buy something.
Jeff, 90% of your store owners who are doing wine samplings have a strategy. A lot of times they come either from the wineries who are asking that they sample in the store, or they're coming from the wholesalers who have a great marketing background. Generally, what you find when you're sampling in stores are wines that they have bought in bulk. And so they have a lot of the wine on hand, which is great because it means that they can give you a passed on discount. But also, they are trying to gauge what their key core customer is.
Right.
Especially if you're looking at a new wine shop or if you're looking at a new manager in a wine shop, they're going to try all kind of different things and different wines. They'll try white wines, they'll try red wines, and the savvy store owners are tracking what is bought and when. They'll say, okay, in summertime, people are buying more white wines, and that's how they'll know what to display on their floor. When they get into the fall, if people are not buying Merlots but buying Zinfandels, it affects their buying pattern. So in a sense, by coming in and tasting the wines, of course they are hoping that you are going to pick up bottles of what they're tasting, but it also helps them to manage their inventory and to plan what they are going to be selling you in the next 12 months.
Call us at 877-4CRUSH1. That's 877-427-8741. Or you can email us. Email us at info@winecrush.com.
Jerry in New Philadelphia, Ohio writes, "Why are the alcohol levels different in each wine? Is that a law from state to state?"
Jerry, it's not typically a law from state to state. There are usually laws about that as far as beer content, but the difference in alcohol levels in wine depends on the difference in the sweetness or the sugar level when the grapes are harvested.
Jerry, as we talk to more and more winemakers and wine luminaries on this show, one thing becomes very evident. Alcohol is becoming more of a function of the winemaker and the production than actually of the grapes. But winemakers can pick and choose, literally pick, when they're going to harvest their grapes. And in doing so, they can pick out where they want the alcohol to be in the wine. They may harvest Chardonnay early, they may harvest it late, and they alone can dictate what percentage of alcohol that wine is going to finish. So you find a lot of winemakers in California are slowly backing away from the very large 14.5, 14.8, 13.9% alcohol Chardonnays. And I think we're finding a more moderate approach to it. Michael, have you seen a difference lately?
I really have, Laura.
As we wander off to take a break and find a corkscrew, this will give you a great time to go check out our website, and that is winecrush.com. You can check that out, see our pictures, read our blogs, get our opinions, and make a comment or two while you are there. We'll give you time to do that while we take a small break.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has seven models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. from HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of mpg based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
So you think you're a Team 48 fan, right?
Try me.
How many Sprint Cup races have Jimmy?
229.
How many did
34
they?
34 wins.
Where was Jimmy?
El Cajon, California.
When was
9/17/75.
Where was Chad?
Rockport, Illinois.
I'm sorry, what?
Rockport, Illinois.
Rockport, Illinois? No, my friend. Chad Knaus was born in Rockford, Illinois. You call yourself a fan.
Become an official member of the Team Lowe's Racing Fan Club. Just log in at www.lowesracing.com and sign up today.
This is Jimmy Johnson, and I want to thank all of the Lowe's Team 48 fans for cheering us on over the years.
Lowe's, let's build something together.
Hey-ya! Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor, Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Bring the ball up. See the court, baby. See the court.
Let's go.
All right, see open man. Go pass.
That's listen carefully.
Yeah!
Okay, get back. Listen.
What do you hear?
Good deeds.
Yes!
Do you know what that is?
No, that's right. Okay.
That's the sound of someone being there. The sound of someone caring about a kid.
Bus shot! Yes!
That's the sound of a mentor. See a movie together, play catch, or just hang out. The important thing is spending time together. A little of your time means a lot to a kid.
This is Laura Bush. Help America's youth. Be a friend. Be a mentor. Just be there.
To be a mentor, go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities.
Have a banana.
Eating well.
Have two bananas.
And playing.
Come on, Baloo.
Go together like best friends.
You better believe it.
With the food pyramid, the bare necessities of living healthy are easy.
That bring the bare necessities of life.
It gives you just the right amount of grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans.
Crazy.
So eat right.
You eat it?
You're gonna love the way they tickle.
Be active.
I'll move. That's it.
And don't forget to have fun.
You're lots of fun, Baloo.
That's the way to be the best.
You're all right, kid.
At anything you do.
Yeah, man.
You can go to mypyramid.gov to play some games and find out more.
Me and Baloo, we've got things to do.
This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
Drink your glasses empty now. It's time to rise and shine. There's one less cause in the world to be living for.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
You want wine opinions? You've come to the right place. We're going to try really hard to sound like we know what we're talking about. We're also going to try very hard to teach you to know what you're talking about. And today we're talking about wine terms, the specific terms you can use even in mixed company to make it sound like you know what you're talking about. When you think about terms and how they can be applied, think about personalities, think about human personalities, and apply those to wine. And thinking of that, you can have a clean person, you can have a flabby person, you can have a fresh person, You can have a lively person. See, it just goes on and on and on.
That's right.
But lively is one of my favorite wine terms because it's always fun to watch the people who are talking about a wine being lively. Lively is generally applied to white wines. And what it usually refers to is a high acidity in the glass, meaning it has a tart factor, it has a lot of acid, and it tends to clear its palate. So if a wine is lively, it dances across your tongue.
And a lot of times those have got some type of effervescence in them.
Actually, you are transgressing into spritzy.
Spritzy, yes.
Lively and spritzy are often paired together, kind of like yin and yang. And spritzy defines that term when you get a little bit of the bubbles, a little bit of effervescence in your mouth.
Right.
Most of the time, winemakers like it to be there. There are times when it shouldn't.
Stomp them grapes and make that wine. Put it in a bottle, boys, and ship it on down the line.
At the Wine Crush, we pride ourselves in inviting great guests to join us from time to time, and today is absolutely no exception. We have Mr. Sean Miner, Sean Miner Wines. Sean, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate being invited.
Well, we love having you, and we definitely want to talk a little bit about your wines. Obviously, the flagship wine that you have is the Four Bears line. Tell us a little bit about Four Bears. Is this another critter wine, or is there a great story behind it?
Well, actually, it's completely opposite of that. You know, you think of critter wines, I think sometimes you think corporate identity marks, but this is a family entity. It's the Four Bears actually represent my four kids. And I've been in the business for over 20 years and have worked for well-established wineries such as BV and spent some time up in Oregon running King Estate Winery. I was president of Benton Lane Winery up there.
Wow.
And also back in California running Renwood Winery. And one of the things that was always a policy of mine during any of those processes and places that I ran, either consulting or running, was to taste every single lot at least once a month, and in many cases that was 200 to 300 lots. The name actually evolved. I wish I could take credit for it, but it actually came from at the time my 5-year-old daughter that used to follow me around at the winery, and she always asked inquisitive questions, and one of them was me explaining, obviously, what the process was, and I always told her that I was putting together blends that were just right. Well, if you know kids, they love hearing the same story over and over, and her favorite story at bedtime was Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
There you go.
Just right. In her perfect little mind, she responded, oh, that's just like Goldilocks, we're in the chair that's just right, or the porch just right. So that's how the name. We don't have three bears. We have four bears. So I figure all the proceeds were going directly to them anyway, so I figure I'd name the winery after them.
Well, you figure they get the proceeds one way or the other. It's great that you're starting them young, man. 5 years old and in that cellar. Gotta love it.
Sean, where are you located?
I'm actually kind of a unique situation. I have a co-op facility that I share with 12 other winemakers in Napa County.
Okay.
And it really makes it a fun process just because we have a wonderful facility where all 12 of us share equipment. We each own our own barrels. We're each bonded wineries, but we share a staff, and it gives us an opportunity, at least at Four Bears, to really concentrate on putting our capital into our vineyard sourcing. And really, the whole idea was to exceed expectations. You know, my wife and I realized, even being industry insiders, we drank wine every single night. We realized we were our second largest household expense was our wine budget.
There you go. That's a man after my own heart.
Yeah, our wine budget second only to our California-sized mortgage. So our whole mantra is really to produce wines that were Monday through Thursday on your pocketbook, but good enough to serve Friday and Saturday night.
So that's great.
We deliver a bang for the buck, and all our wines retail for less than $20, even coming from great appellations such as Napa Valley.
Wow. So what are you growing? What wines are you producing?
I have a Napa Valley Merlot, a Napa Valley Cab, and then being a guy that's had a lot of experience in a number of different appellations, I went out and sought after areas that I thought grew the best style of fruit for the style of wine I was trying to produce. So our Chardonnay comes from Paso Robles, Central Coast, And the Sauvignon Blanc comes from Sonoma County.
For our listeners, we are speaking with Sean Miner. He is the owner of Four Bears Winery, also Sean Miner Wines. Sean, out of curiosity, when you're looking at your great background and you're looking at all the different wines you've created, what's your favorite varietal to play with?
Ooh, that's a tough question. You know, I always say it's kind of like asking which one of my kids are the favorite. And some days one's favorite so, over the other. That might go hour to hour, actually.
Or minute to minute around this place.
Yeah, I think Pinot Gris was something that was so exciting to be a part of. You know, that variety, my first vintage up in Oregon, was something that was just starting to come onto the marketplace. And some of the I think it might have been timing's everything. People were looking for an alternative to Chardonnay, but it might be sometimes thought as a simplistic grape to work with. And obviously, most people are familiar with that being more under the Pinot Grigio style, very lean and austere. But Pinot Gris obviously offers a lot of different complexities, and hopefully. Our plan is to be able to begin to produce something that can be grown in California. It's kind of a unique grape in the sense that it does really enjoy, similar to Pinot Noir, very, very cool climates. And sometimes in California, unlike Oregon, where you're really looking for warm sites in a cold climate, more or less, or a cooler climate. In California, you're trying to find cool sites in a somewhat hot environment. But that variety, if grown right, it can be a very, very complex wine and offer some really, really neat characteristics. So, you know, it's such a wonderful food wine, and I think Sauvignon Blanc and some of the other varieties that you can maintain some acidity like Pinot Gris is. But I would think Pinot Gris was always a fun thing to work with, and like I said, being early on, that was a race to see the type of volumes that variety went to when people started finding it.
Sean, it might interest you to know that several months ago I listed that as one of my very favorite white wines was the King Estate Pinot Gris. So you made a great mark there.
They're still doing a great job. It's such a beautiful facility and a beautiful place up in Oregon. But that variety is such a diverse item, and I think amazingly enough, it's one of the varieties that you got to really pay careful attention and be in hands off to it and not overburden that with a bunch of manipulation in the cellar. And I think you'll see with all my wines, they're very, very similar to that. They're very balanced front to back and create a really, really nice, as I mentioned, a food wine, but a wine that's not overly manipulated and one aspect doesn't stand out. You know, it's not like you get a ton of oak or you get just a ton of simple fruit. There's a lot of things that evolve as that wine kind of goes through over your palate.
Well, fair enough. Hey, Sean, can you stay with us? We have a little business to attend to, and we'll come back to you a little bit later in the show.
We'd love to.
Coming up next on The Crush, we're in the kitchen with Richard Hake. Stay tuned.
So you think you're a Team 48 fan, right?
Try me.
How many Sprint Cup races have Jimmy?
229.
How many did
34
they?
34 wins.
Where was Jimmy?
El Cajon, California.
When was he?
9/17/75.
Where was Chad?
Rockport, Illinois.
I'm sorry, what?
Rockport, Illinois.
Rockport, Illinois? No, my friend. Chad Knaus was born in Rockford, Illinois. You call yourself a fan.
Become an official member of the Team Lowe's Racing Fan Club. Just log in at www.lowesracing.com and sign up today.
This is Jimmy Johnson, and I want to thank all of the Lowe's Team 48 fans for cheering us on over the years.
Lowe's, let's build something together.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max, performance you can feel.
You wanna go? All of you who wanna go to college,
wanna go?
You best listen to this knowledge. Listen. You gotta be a go-getter, cause it's hard to get there. Get up in their face, get up in their space. Excuse me, missus. You say you're my teacher, you say you're my preacher. Excuse me, mister. You act like you're large and you say you're in charge. So show me, what is it that I need? So tell me, the books I should read.
Somebody hit me with the 411. There are steps to take, there's a job to be done. I want step one, step two, step three spelled out. All the info is what I'm about. So ask for help and do not stop. KnowHowToGo.org, let's ride.
That was Farnsworth Bentley with Wanna Go. For more college info, visit KnowHowToGo.org. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing. You're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You must be your fairy godmother. Yes.
It doesn't take a fairy godmother to tell you that the right fit means everything.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in that.
Children under 4'9" need to be in a booster seat because they aren't ready for adult safety belts alone. Many parents miss the important step of booster seats.
Maybe you better explain things to him.
Booster seats raise your child up so that a safety belt designed for adults will fit and protect them properly.
Oh, that does make a difference.
Remember that 4'9" is the magic number. And get your little pumpkin there safely in a booster seat.
Hop in, my dear. Oh, thank you.
And like Cinderella, you can live happily ever after.
It's like a dream. A wonderful dream come true.
For more information, visit boosterseat.gov. This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Little glass of wine.
First, you must take some lime. Can you describe it, the taste?
It's a nice red wine.
I think you can do better.
A bold wine with a hint of sophistication and lacking in pretension. Actually, I was just talking about myself.
A comfort to the fool.
And welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And that was Kevin Kline and Meg Ryan from the movie French Kiss. But doesn't that scene kind of speak to the way many of us struggle with describing a wine?
Never fear. That is our theme today, wine terms.
And we are your radio glossary of wine words and how to use them as a weapon in the battle between the sexes.
Oh, good.
You know, Michael, it's always funny, too, when you're talking about wine terms. There's definitely masculine terms.
That's right.
And there's definitely feminine terms.
Right.
Some of my favorite masculine ones, of course, are dry, flinty, hard, mellow, maybe, when it applies to you. But rough or sulfury or yeasty. I mean, those to me are masculine. They're empowering. They just make the wine sit up and stand in the glass. So that's the masculine side of things. Michael, what kind of feminine characteristics do you think of?
Smooth, velvety, silky. Those are terms that describe the softer sides of wine, the more elegant side.
This is kind of fun. For those of you who really are into clothing, any word generally you can use to describe a fabric, particularly silk, can be used to describe wine.
Yeah, silk, velvet.
Any kind of sheen, any kind of material that you make a gown out of, you're going to be fairly safe using it to describe a wine, whether it's cashmere, whether it's silk, whether it's velvet, whether it's linen, whether it is cottony. They all can apply. They all can go too.
But woolly only describes your mouth the next morning, right?
Cute. I like that. Actually, okay. Cotton might apply there too. Here at the Wine Crush, we are always here to educate and enliven you. And in doing so, we often call on our West Coast correspondent, Mr. Richard Hake. He is the chef for the Robert Mondavi Winery. Richard has agreed to join us again today and continue along our happy salute to salads. Richard, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Thanks so much for having me back.
What is new and exciting out on the West Coast these days?
Well, salads are still new and exciting. We're enjoying a little steak on our salad this week.
Oh,
that sounds good.
Beef is always good if you're going to have to balance it with lettuce.
Yeah, I know. After we talk about this recipe, I'm going to be really interested on what wine recommendations you're going to make for this salad.
I'm sure we'll fight over something. Well, what are we doing today? What kind of salad are you serving?
We're going to do grilled flank steak over a salad with blue cheese and red grapes.
Cool. Ooh. All right.
Yeah. So that's really going to challenge your wine and food pairing knowledge right there.
So tell us a little bit more about that salad.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about balsamic vinegar and the balsamic vinegar in wine. So I wanted to make a balsamic vinaigrette that can be used as a marinade for the beef. And we're going to grill flank steak and make a nice salad with blue cheese. And I recommend to the listener any of your favorite blue cheeses that you have in your local grocery store. Red grapes, which will be coming in season here soon. Just split those red grapes and slicing that over some mixed greens, mescaline greens, and it's a meal in itself.
You have really captured my heart with the salads you've been doing lately. You put fried chicken on one a couple weeks ago. You're putting grilled beef on this one. These are just great summertime salads that can, like you said, balance as a meal.
I eat a lot of salads at home for dinner in the summertime. My girlfriend and I try to keep it simple since I spend a full day at work cooking, so we do salads just like this at home.
Yeah, quick and easy. For our listeners, people who would like to check out this salad and try it at home tonight, it is posted on our website, and you can do that at winecrush.com. So please go check it out, look at the salad, look at the ingredients, and you can pretty much find everything should be in your refrigerator now.
So do I get to ask, what's your wine recommendation for this, Laura?
There you go. You are definitely catching on to this show. I would, strangely enough, have a Merlot with this salad. I think it has a good softness that would balance the flake steak. Also, it carries the blue cheese. And if most people are like me, they can just push the lettuce to one side.
And Michael, what about you?
I'm going to go out and mention a wine that probably not very many people have heard of, but it's similar to Merlot in that it's got a little bit more sweetness to it. It's called Amarone, and it's an Italian wine, and it's sweet, and it's got pretty much alcohol. But I'm looking at the balsamic vinegar and the blue cheese, and I think that would be what I would have with it.
Well, I'm going to go in a different direction than both of you, and I'm going to stay with the red wine, and I'm going to recommend a Grenache because I worry about the acidity of the vinaigrette and the fruit from the grapes taken away from a wine with such as a Merlot. So I'm going to take it to a little bit of a lighter varietal, and that's Grenache or Grenache, and you can find it from several different continents, from Australia to the United States to France and Spain. So that's my recommendation.
Well, for once, we have 3 points of a triangle, everyone having a different opinion.
Right.
That kind of goes hand in hand with what we tell all of our valuable listeners. Drink what you like, not what you're told. If 3 experts can come up with 3 different wines, that means you're probably never wrong either. We have a whole bunch of food and wine questions. We have Richard Hake. We're going to put them together and have him help us answer your thoughts.
I want to know what's a good food pairing for a Meritage.
All right, our caller is looking for a great food pairing for our Meritage. Richard, what do you want to weigh in on?
Well, I like lamb chops. The Meritage is our contribution to the United States, very similar to a Bordeaux, and I like lamb chops.
Fair enough. I was actually thinking more of the pig family. I like them with grilled pork chops, grilled pork tenderloin, something along those lines.
Because it is a Bordeaux blend, and you're using the classic Bordeaux grapes, I would stick with something, a steak with some type of a sauce, even a butter sauce or a Bordelais sauce, something that would come right back from the old country.
I think so. And what's fun about a Meritage, no matter how you look at it, whether you're going to do steak, chicken, pork, whatever you want, because it does consist of such great 5 grapes, it will pretty much pair with anything you want it to. It's the great chameleon of the red wine world.
Yeah, and it's usually one of the top wines any of the wineries.
We have yet another question on food and wine.
My name's David. What kind of wine would go good with blackened chicken, blackened steak, that kind of thing?
Blackened seasoning. Good. I gotta love it. Coming from the South, anything done in a cast iron skillet's got to be good. I am going to defer to the all-American Zinfandel. Anytime I do anything blackened or encounter something blackened, I like the balance between the Zin and the savory spices on it. Richard, what do you think with blackened?
Well, it's spicy, and I'm thinking of something with a little residual sugar, so I would go with Chenin Blanc.
And you know what? I will follow you up with a Gewürztraminer, because I think the Gewürz has got that little bit of spiciness plus the sugar. We'll cut through the spiciness of that blackened spice.
Yeah, just make sure it's ice cold, and it'll make a great wine and food pairing.
Yeah, I was about to say, boys, I'm shocked at both of you. I mean, that's just the wuss's way out. You're going to go to all that trouble, get all that great blackened chicken or blackened beef, and you're going to put a little Chenin Blanc with it. Come on, guys, grow us that.
I know that listener's not going to be too happy for that choice.
Well, Richard, thank you very much for calling in and being part of the Crush and teaching us a little bit more about our kitchen and a little more about cooking.
Thanks so much, Laura. Cheers.
Here at the Wine Crush, we know that all of you are not just another pretty face. You have a brain, and we're going to put it to work with this week's wine teaser. What percent of wines produced in the U.S. come from the state of California? The answer to this kind of confusing question when we return.
Hey-ya! Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of mpg, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
I'm on a test track riding in a Roush Mustang with Cooper Tires technical advisor Johnny Unser to learn why Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires.
Wow, feel that grip?
Yeah, I felt it. Cooper incorporates what they learn at the track into engineering high-performing, reliable, safe tires for whatever you drive on the street.
Okay, time to cut her loose.
We weren't already cutting her loose? Cooper Tires, don't give up a thing. For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Okay, seriously, I want out.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Dying forests, they were a tap on the shoulder. We got a finger in our chest from the rising sea level, and a sharp poke in the ribs from recent wildfires in Alaska. Then dying coral reefs and eroding coastlines pushed us hard. The drowned polar bears, that was a shove. Melting permafrost, that was a slap. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution before it's too late. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
For all sorts of fun information about wine, go to our new website, winecrush.com. That's winecrush, all one word, .com.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And before the break, we asked you, what percent of wines produced in the U.S. come from the state of California? Michael, what would be your guess?
Laura, I think I would guess probably 62 or 63%. Laura, how about you? What would you guess?
I'm definitely going to guess higher. My guess is 90% of the wines.
Really?
Really? That high?
Wow.
According to the Wine Institute, an advocacy group for California wines, 89% of all wines in the United States come from the Golden State. Those facts are from 2006, the latest year these figures are available.
Well, so, you beat me like a bad dog there. I've got to admit it.
Hey, I don't think there's anyone around here in this building or on this headphone or in their cars that are overly surprised about that.
Right, but don't you think there are other parts of the country that are starting to at least produce more, and that percentage may be dropping over the next few years?
I don't know if the percentage will drop. I know that more and more California land is being converted from orchards to grapes.
Right.
But I do think we're going to see wine coming out of other states. I think we're going to see the overall proportion of wine rising. But I think as you cut back the wine coming out of New York, I think as you look at different states giving up some of their vineyards,
mm-hmm.
I think we're going to be looking at that for a while. It'll be interesting to see the new figures. Our theme for today's Wine Crush is wine terminology. And one of these that comes to mind is my Chardonnay is hot.
Yes.
And when you hear hot in reference to a wine, they are not referring to the actual serving temperature of the liquid. Hot indicates an excess of alcohol.
That's right. And I would share with you, Laura, I use that term pretty often. I think there's a lot of new wines that are being made with that high 16 and 17% alcohol. They're hot. You know, you put it in your mouth, it smells wonderful, you swallow it, and all of a sudden you get this backlash of alcohol that's coming back. It's a hot wine.
It is. And generally you find that in a lot of American Zinfandels. You find that in a lot of Australian Shirazes.
Right.
A great way to look at this, for those of you who actually drink hard liquor or are familiar with it, think about the smell of vodka. That is the taste that you get that relates to hot.
Yep.
So the next time someone's talking about a hot wine, don't rush for your ice cubes. They don't necessarily want their wine cooled down. We're going back now to Sean Miner. He is the owner of Four Bears Winery and Sean Miner Wines. Sean, welcome back to The Crush.
Thank you.
Sean, I have a question. Michael and I like to joke about this a lot, the fact that there's probably close to 70 years of wine experience between the two of us. I would say that we consider ourselves wine insiders. How do you make the transition from, as you said, being a wine insider to being a winery owner? How many sleepless nights did that involve?
I don't know if there was actually a time that was a light bulb in my head said I wanted to do that. You know, I've always had a passion for it, and I've always had a passion to really be able to bring, I think, some of the wine snobbery that we run up against sometimes in our industry. Not that I think a lot of that has changed, and it's become obviously you look at the consumer numbers, consumption continues to just rocket forward. But, you know, I've always been an individual that just really enjoys trying to present a wine that can be part of your lifestyle more than anything. And it is such it brings so many conversations to the table that can be not in snobbery standpoint, but a general consumer standpoint. And we've been very fortunate to have such great restaurants emerge in the last 10 years. And even microbrews, I think, have contributed to that, because people are very comfortable now talking about what's on the palate, what flavors they taste, and all that kind of good stuff. But, you know, that passion that I had for it just kind of evolved, and it was the catalyst to get me to get off my duff and start something on my own and kind of fulfill what our ideals and passion is all about.
Well, I think it's very easy to have a passion about the wine business, and you definitely hit on obviously what we consider the overriding theme of our show. We are the anti-snob wine show. You know, we definitely are trying to bring wine to an everyday level and explain to consumers that, yes, you should have a wine on your table Monday through Thursday. You don't have to sit around and wait till Saturday. And there is no doubt in my mind that Four Bears definitely fits in that category.
So, excellent. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Good enough to drink alone or good enough to drink in company. You got to love that.
There you go. There you go.
Sean, as we wrap this up, as we come to a close, Since that is the heart and soul of what the Wine Crush is, what advice do you have for new wine drinkers, for the people who are just now feeling confident enough to walk up to that Mega Mart shelf and pick up a bottle of wine? What do you recommend for them?
I think don't get locked into one thing. I mean, obviously, we all kind of fall back to the least path of resistance, I guess, and our comfortable spot and always kind of reach for the same bottle. But, you know, sometimes it's fun to try other things and don't feel that you have to be hemmed in by anything in terms of the exact pairing with the exact wine. If it's something you enjoy, I think you'll find something that you'll enjoy with it. But I always tell people, try as many varietals as you can. It's mind-boggling to think how many different types of wines are out in the marketplace. And I think also try to shop at a place that can direct you to some real values.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the fun part. You know, it's kind of like finding a restaurant around the corner that no one knows about that you can share to friends that just offer a great experience, great food at a great price. And in the wine business and search for wines, that's something I really enjoy is finding really cool varietals that someone's doing a great job, but it's still within reason in terms of price points. So try a lot of different things. That's how you gain more knowledge and more awareness of what you're drinking.
Sean, I think that's great advice, whether it's to a novice or an aficionado, no matter how you look at it, break out of the mold. All through this interview, I've been dying to ask this. If your winery is four bears, does that make you Goldilocks?
I don't know. I'm far from it. We'll leave that honor to my beautiful wife.
There you go. A smart man giving credit where it's due. And we have been speaking with Sean Miner, the owner of Four Bears Winery and Sean Miner Wines. And if you want to find out more about his wines, you can go to Sean Miner Wines. That's S-E-A-N-M-I-N-O-R Wines. Or you can go to the Four Bears Winery website. And that's four, as in the number, B-E-A-R-S, winery.com. All right, we've given you a head full of useless facts that you can entertain yourself with while we take a small break. Because when we return, Michael is going to get up on his soapbox, pound on the desk, and scream a little bit just for the sake of argument. More on this when we return.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor, Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper Tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Hey, Mark, have you noticed any of the Spectracide Green Ninjas around the track?
Green Ninjas, Doug?
Yeah, I'm serious. I haven't noticed any weeds or nasty crabgrass. They must have used Spectracide Weed Stop Plus Crabgrass Killer.
You know, I haven't seen any crabgrass.
Using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to take out the weeds without harming your lawn. You see results in as fast as 8 hours.
Hand me a bottle of Spectracide Weed Stop Plus Crabgrass Killer. I'll get those ninjas in my yard.
Weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
So you think you're a Team 48 fan, right?
Try me.
How many Sprint Cup races have Jimmy...
229.
How many did
34
they...
34 wins.
Where was Jimmy?
El Cajon, California.
When was
9-17-75.
Where was Chad?
Rockport, Illinois.
I'm sorry, what?
Rockport, Illinois.
Rockport, Illinois? No, my friend. Chad Knaus was born in Rockford, Illinois. You call yourself a fan.
Become an official member of the Team Lowe's Racing Fan Club. Just log in at www.lowesracing.com and sign up today.
This is Jimmy Johnson, and I want to thank all of the Lowe's Team 48 fans for cheering us on over the years.
Lowe's, let's build something together.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Avail 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of mpg, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, 1 out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly 1/3 of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we have been talking about terms. And I think this brings me to point. Michael, I think you have a whole lot of terms you want to say about terms.
Laura, I've got to share this with you. You know, I'm in the restaurant business, and to walk to a table, offer a wine to a person, he looks at it or she looks at it, swirls it a little bit and says, oh, this is a precocious little wine, a bit backwards, but I think you'll like it. I think that is so absurd for somebody to actually tell somebody else what they're going to like first. Secondly, to use language like that was the hit of the 50s, it just drives me crazy to hear people be so presumptuous as to assume that they can tell other people what they like. That's my wine gripe, and I'd like for people to stop it. Our show is about making wine simple and fun, and that's what we should be doing. We should not be analyzing these wines to the nth degree and then telling somebody else, oh, this is going to be fine. You'll like it a lot.
Amen, Michael. I like the way you think.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
The dreaded point of the show has come once again, and it is time to bid all of you adieu. I think we've had a great time today talking with Sean Miner. Richard Hake always enlightens us with those great summer salads. Most importantly, I hope we have enlightened you with some new wine terms you can take to your neighborhood barbecue or your neighborhood bar. We remind you always when you're doing that, we ask you to sip socially, we ask you to drink responsibly, and remember, drink what you like, not what you're told. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And remember, in vino veritas, in wine there is truth.
The Wine Crush.